from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-T-I.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Poprad. With this week, Lee Banks in the UK, Eric Wiltshire here in Slovakia, in the beautiful town of Poprad. And Rachel's out celebrating because she's made a career move and didn't invite us. Did you notice on the email we didn't even get an invite?
I know.
We did not get an invite.
I know.
What was that?
I know.
Hey? Rob. What? Rob. That's Rachel's partner. Rob, what's all that about? You didn't even he's going for a canoodling dinner with the two of them.
In simple terms, we were robbed of the opportunity of celebrating
with
Rachel.
We were absolutely robbed. It should have been our goal, but we didn't get it. And I've got a consolation prize. I've got a cup of coffee.
And a canoodling, are they?
I think so.
No, there's nothing going on down under.
Very good. Anyway, I think it's the last one in the theme of what was that about, or what was Liam Payne on, particularly? One Direction star, Liam Payne, has been forced to apologise. I can understand why in 2014 he's got to do it.
I think he should just take a running jump.
Because if you don't know, he was standing on the ledge of a skyscraper, 34 floors above the ground level. But the thing is, he then had to go onto Twitter, and I think he was told to go on Twitter, and this is what he put on his Twitter update. It was a stupid and irresponsible thing to do. I'm sorry. And do not endorse any fans trying to repeat this, as it's extremely dangerous. And they also added, you may have seen a photo of me today taken on top of a building. I regret being there and having the photo taken.
Do you know what worried me about this photo? Because I saw this photo.
Yeah.
If he was 34 stories up, which is what, about 300, nearly 400 feet, 500, 400 feet.
I'll take your word for that. Yeah, go on.
Yeah. And the photograph was taken looking directly at him, standing on the balcony, the wall of the balcony.
Yeah.
How did the person who took the photograph, it wasn't a selfie, how did the person who took the photograph get up 400 feet to photograph him? Were they on a bungee?
Maybe he had a good lens.
No, because it wasn't taken looking up at him, it was taken directly looking at him.
Maybe they were hanging out the window. No, they weren't hanging out the window, because that would be an irresponsible journalist photographer. It would be a man with a long, one of those long cabley things that you put between your fingers and push it with your thumb to take the picture, on a pole, lashed together, hanging out.
A 400-foot long pole?
No, he'd be on the same floor as him, just round the corner.
Bit complicated, so I would suggest that one way or the other, this wasn't just a bit of a fleeting moment where he thought he'd be a bit of a rock and roll star, because he ain't a rock and roll star, he's nothing as far as I'm concerned. Mm. And it's always a setup to get him major publicity, which it did. He got him on every front page of the newspapers, got him a mention on here, and all he had to do was do it. He probably had his braces attached to something in there, somebody holding onto his trouser legs so he couldn't fall off. Mm. And then all he had to do was say, oh, wasn't I stupid? And then everybody gives him some publicity. It's a publicity stunt.
Or there's a big difference, because don't I remember a well-known band driving a Rolls Royce into a swimming pool?
Do we not remember a very famous monkey-loving chap dangling his children over the edge of a balcony?
Yeah, well, that was called stupid.
His monkey wasn't called stupid, he was called Charles.
No, it was his baby who was hanging over the edge of the balcony.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Ridiculous. Yep.
That's ridiculous. But listen. Years ago, the deal was smash up the hotel room, throw the television out into a swimming pool, drive a Rolls Royce into an external swimming pool, do all these ridiculously dangerous things, and everybody said, oh, it's only rock and roll.
Well, yeah, that's right. Exactly, and that's what I'm saying. But in fact, in a way, the rock and roll aspect of it was made it dangerous and daring and challenging. Like Jim Morrison trying to jump off or dangling himself off a balcony at in LA and things like that. Mm. It was. But now you've got some namby-pamby little directionless tweety little singing twerp who stands on a thing and gets somebody to take his photograph, puts it out to the press as something incredibly incredible, and then says, "Oh, I'm so sorry," and then but everybody goes.
That's the culture of 2014, isn't it? Because you just
exactly
you wait 2 weeks and you get the lawsuit in. Liam Payne has been sued because Johnny Smith was stood on a ledge and fell off. And yeah. He blamed him.
Well, yeah, absolutely. That's a fair point. That's what happens in the rock and roll era. People used to do things that were equally as stupid, but it didn't really
go to court.
No, exactly.
It didn't go to court because there wasn't no win, no fee people, and you couldn't go and sue them for things like this. And I'm sorry. The fact is, we should all be saying sorry to him now.
Who, to Liam?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, if you're daft enough to stand on a ledge 34 stories up and go and emulate what he's doing...
With your mate holding onto your belt and your other mate taking your photograph of the building across the place.
Then it's your fault if you fall off.
It is, but he didn't fall off.
No, I know, but other people do.
I think he should have had one direction and that should have been down.
Ha, ha, ha. Google are going to be very happy this week. Just for a change, we can't really have a go at them, which is rather disappointing. So, Google, why are they happy? Because a motorist has been cleared in what is a landmark case in America for driving whilst wearing Google glasses.
Yeah.
Now, these Google glasses are for watching TV, looking at your emails, yada, yada, yada. It's very sort of Star Trek sci-fi stuff, but becoming sci-fact. I always thought this story was flawed from the beginning, because when she got pulled over and got a ticket for it, I'm not being rude to any policeman, I promise you that, but, you know, policemen are general, normal people.
I could take issue with that.
I think you probably could, I understand why. The fact is that they are not IT experts, they are regular people.
Yeah,
in that way. So how would they have known what the standby mode of the Google glasses was? How would they know whether they were on or off? What the situation with these glasses? Because basically they are glasses.
Can I just ask an even more integral question to this that you've just set my journalistic mind working on? How would they have known that they were proper glasses?
Because it's got a bit sticking on the side of them.
Has it?
Yeah. It's got like a little black, sort of blackish cube.
What, like an aerial?
No, like a little cube. About the size of a sugar cube.
What's that for?
That's where you put the technology.
Oh, I see. Why can't they just fit it into the frame?
Because I think there's a bit too much tech for that at the minute.
Anyway, carry on, sorry.
Anyway, so the fact is they wouldn't have known whether this device was operational or not, but they still gave her a ticket. She says, but they weren't on, Governor.
Hmm.
So... they're glasses. They were just glasses.
Mm.
And the court has said, well, yeah, that's daft. Because if it wasn't on, then it's not illegal to wear them.
But they don't have a history thing, so how can she prove that they weren't on?
Well, that's true as well. They probably have got a history thing through the Wi-Fi. But the fact is...
then it shouldn't have gone to court. They should have just checked that and say, all right, duck.
Well, I agree with you. But I think it's one of those things where a policeman went... I can be famous here. I can be famous. I can get these blokes. I'm going to get a butler. I'm going to get you, butler. I'm going to get you, butler. And
they all talk like that in America, ladies and gentlemen.
They do. And, sorry, America. And the fact is that they got it wrong. Because it can't be a traffic violation for wearing eyeglasses when you're driving. Because otherwise, I break the law every day of the week.
Surely... if that was an offence to wear that, what about these cars that actually have an image of your dashboard on the windscreen?
Very good point, Lee. I have to agree. Lee, Lee, are you ready for this? Lee, Stan, you are sitting down, aren't you?
No, I'm actually, to be
brutally honest, I'm actually lying languishingly on the floor, talking up at my microphone.
In which case, you won't fall over then. Lee, I agree with you.
I heard it. I wasn't making a big point of it because this is 2014.
I see.
Times have to be agreeable.
But anyway, it was interesting how the lady in question has said, don't be irresponsible wearing these glasses, kind of hinting that you shouldn't wear them when you shouldn't drive whilst using them. So I think all in all, good result, but I bet Google are happy.
Why don't we get done for wearing dark glasses when we're driving? Because they impair your vision slightly.
Not always.
If you buy the crap ones I do, they do.
Well, that's because you're a tight person. Anyway, moving on. We've had a listener. It's flooded in. The one
it has.
It's flooded in this week.
He was so pleased, ladies and gentlemen, when he got this.
Anyway, hi to David Gilby. And David's got in touch with us because he's a bit sort of confused over this guy called Roger Shuler, who's a blogger in Alabama. And
a silly blogger.
Very much so. Now, I am not commenting on or making any judgment on the content of that which Roger Shuler put on his blog.
No,
absolutely
I'm not.
But it ended up in court.
Yeah.
Is the bottom line. Now, what happened was that the court said, you either take that content down or you go to court. You go to prison, sorry. And the fact is that he said, I won't take the blog down. Now, I've got issues with that because the court could enforce that upon the host provider and get it taken down anyway.
Yeah.
But he chose not to take that down. He was in breach of court by not doing what the judge said. So therefore, irrelevant of what he put on his blog, he has to go to prison.
Which I think is fair. I think it's fair. I think he should go to jail. I don't think he should pass go. I don't think he should collect 200 quid. I think he should just go straight to jail.
Yeah.
This is a bloke who calls himself a citizen journalist, and he should remove the journalist from that and admit what he is. He's a citizen.
Yes.
And what he does, he specialises in allegations of corruption and scandal in Republican circles in Alabama.
Well, okay. Everybody's entitled to that as long as they get it right.
But he has no qualifications or no credibility as an investigative citizen.
Well,
he's not a policeman. He's not a journalist.
No. I agree all of that. But, you know, if he was getting it right and it could be supported, then that evidence would have surely been given in court and the court would have found in his favour and he wouldn't have been told to take it down. Surely.
Well, I agree. I agree.
Okay, that's all right. There's not the but.
No, I'll stay there. I'm a man. I'm just leaning away to pick up my coffee, and
right.
I am returning.
Therefore,
now.
The judge says, "No, you're wrong, sir. You have to take that down, Mr. Shuler, and if you don't, you will go to prison for being in contempt of court." He doesn't take it down. He's hauled back to court. Judge says, "Mr. Shuler, will you take that down?" "No." Well, then you're in contempt of court. Take him away.
Yeah.
And I don't see what the grief is.
Well, on his side?
On anybody's side. It's a court judgment.
You see, what really annoys me about this is this all stems from a defamation suit brought by an attorney. So the attorney's not an idiot. It's not worth going into the names and details. But this bloke, who was also a governor... it was defamed. So it took this bloke to court for defamation.
And Lee, don't forget, America is not a simple country to take people to court for defamation.
Absolutely not.
It's really strict.
Absolutely, yeah. And as far as I'm concerned, this case was proven as wrong. Mm. Even down to the fact that the bloke involved said, and I take issue with this, he said, someone who decides to make up a lie, destroy someone's reputation, that's not journalism.
No.
It's not even being a citizen. It's just being a wicked, vindictive little...
Oik.
Oik, thank you.
Mm,
and
you're welcome.
And he's been to court over it. There's been a preliminary injunction against him.
Yep.
And what he's doing is standing up for something which it sounds like is wrong. And we've actually know of people personally who do this kind of thing and cause so much mayhem through the internet and through not understanding what they're talking about and not understanding the law and not understanding the ramifications of what they're doing. Yeah, he should be in jail. He should be in jail for what he's done.
And, you know, again, we don't always defend them because they don't always need to be defended. But there was a statement from, and I'm going to have to paraphrase it because I can't remember the exact words, from the Assistant Chief Commissioner of the Metropolitan Police in London, where the big riots that were took place in Tottenham a year or so ago, and he said the problem, one of the biggest problems that the police are facing in London at the moment, and he used the word mischievous messages on the internet.
Absolutely.
And he's right. Seriously, I can tell you that from a worky, jobby thingy, day job and all that, that the way in which some people manipulate the internet is, well, as good as a sin, to be honest.
Well, it is. And in the cases that you are mentioning now, obviously no names, no pack drill, no indication of what we're talking about.
Yep.
The simple fact is that in these cases, these people have been proven to be wrong.
Yep.
And the situation has been sorted out and settled and everything's good, and yet they still continue to perpetrate these awful crimes.
They believe their own spin.
Absolutely. And
you've fallen down on the floor, haven't you?
No, I'm sitting up now.
Have you? Can you lay down again?
Yeah, all right.
Go on,
I'm taking my clothes off. Hey!
Right, lay down. Now talk to me. That's better. Much better. Much better quality.
You know what? I have to explain this to the technical people in this world who listen to this show for the technical prowess of how we create this show.
Yeah, right.
I am now lying below my microphone with it 6 inches above my mouth. And when my sound went wrong, I was actually sitting up with the microphone 6 inches below my mouth.
Yes, that explains to every techie is now sitting there nodding their head and going, what a dummy.
And so, no, I don't have a dummy. I grew out of dummies when I was 47.
They're all sitting there going, Lee's a plonker. Anyway, horror of the week. Dun, dun, dun. Facebook, you nasty, nasty people. You nasty people, Facebook. You know, Dennis, you know, on the on the right-hand side of Facebook pages, there's recommended sites and recommended new friends and all that stuff. So, just I'm getting fed up with all this. So I'm clicking, no, not interested, tick, not interested. And then it lets you do a few of them without having to put not interested. And then the next one that comes up is Dob Billen.
Ah, dear, oh dear.
It was Dob Billen. You cannot believe it. Dob Billen. I'm going, no! It's Banks. He made this happen. But there was a joy at the end of it. Because as I clicked X, like I don't want to see Dob Billen, he brought the little box down, so I ticked uninterested and then okayed it. And for anybody that hasn't been around the show for a while, Lee is manically in love with Dob Billen.
I am, and the reason is because I am the cultural element of this show, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, as we all well know, and he's the Philistine. The simple fact is that Mr. Dob Billen has had a career that's lasted for 60 years, mainly at the top of the upper echelons of show business.
Oh.
He's produced 56 albums, 11 live albums, and continues to perform and win accolades across the world. 236 days a year he performs and fills stadiums across the world. And do you know what I found on Mr. Wiltshire's site, ladies and gentlemen?
Sorry,
our Irish listeners, I mean no rudeness or anything that you could take offence at.
Yes.
And I just simply rest the case by saying that on Mr. Wiltshire's site, there is Daniel O'Donnell.
Where?
I'll put it on for you.
Not on my Facebook page.
I'll put it on your Facebook page. I'll put it everywhere. Don't you be rude about Daniel O'Donnell.
Oh, yeah. I can't say what you normally say because that's exactly what I think.
we have Irish listeners, and they're very important to. Yes. In fact, Mr. O'Donnell, I once insulted Mr. O'Donnell by saying he's so middle of the road he should be run over, and I almost lost my job for that comment.
Well, no,
not that I think he was, ladies and gentlemen. No, I was made to
just,
say that.
Could you move him to the right or the left of the middle of the road?
No, because my joke wouldn't have worked.
Well, yes, because if he stood right in the middle of the road, cars can swerve round him. But if he stood in the middle of the lane of the road...
Let's all swerve Daniel O'Donnell, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, God. I mean, have you ever listened to lift music?
Elevator music? Yes, of course I have.
Yeah.
It makes sounds interesting compared to Daniel O'Donnell.
Exactly, it makes lift music sound like top 40 chart power plays compared to anyway. Windows 9 will launch in guess what we think will be 2015.
I can't believe this is in the oh how interesting this is, ladies and gentlemen. Another Windows.
What's wrong with having another window?
We loved Windows 8 when it came out.
We still do.
We still do, Microsoft.
Yes, so shut up. Anyway, yes. Apparently there's going to be another version coming out in 2015, which doesn't surprise me, actually, because it tends to go a bit like this, that they have one, then they do another one quite quickly when they're moving along.
Very middle of the road.
But I think I mentioned it last week when we were talking about CES show, that there's a new Android piece of software or operating software for your tablets, and it's amazing. It looks to me just like Windows 8.
Is it?
Yeah, it does really.
So and that's on your Android, is it?
Yes.
And what if you haven't got an Android? What if you just have an old robot? What is an Android?
It's an operating system for phones.
No, it was an Android before somebody nicked it to make it an operating system. An Android
was a robot.
Paranoid Android.
Yeah, it was a robot. Which is, if you think about it, which is what, in many cases, a tablet is. It's a robot. Well, yeah.
I was just pondering.
Well, ponder quicker.
I'm sorry, I was on like a slow ponder.
Well, it works on television having a slow ponder, but not on the radio.
I was having a fish in me ponder.
Because people say, they go to me, do what? I go, well, yeah. Well, they say, what's the first thing you do when you get in your office, Eric? I say, oh, turn the computer on. Put my password in, and they go and make a cup of tea.
Yeah.
And they go, what? Hey? Surely you read your email first. I said, no. What happens is I turn my computer on, I put my password in, because that's the login password.
He has just told us this, hasn't he, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah. And then I go and make a cup of tea.
He's also told us that, hasn't he?
Because then when I make my cup of tea, without even having
which
to...
Which he's told us four times now he goes and makes
it. My computer is set up whereby the email comes on its own.
Yeah.
It says, collect my email. It's called a script. And... it collects it all for me and
in
puts...
In my case, it's not an Android, it's an Andrea. She goes and gets my mail.
I know that. This is the only bloke that has got a dictaphone to reply to emails.
Gia very often says to me, can I borrow your dictaphone? I say, no, use your finger like everybody else.
Thank you very much. Anyway, Ed Miliband was bigging up some speech this morning about... about if Labour wins the next general election, it's going to take umbrage with banks and force them to give up some of their places on the high street.
Nothing up to him.
That was the political content of this week, over and done with. Lee's in a panic, boys and girls. Lee is in a panic. That's why he's in his bedroom at the minute. I've just realised.
He's sent to bed.
He's looking at his big box under the bed, which is full of Hublon £50 notes. And if you've got any, can you get rid of them before April the 30th, please? Because they're only going to hold legal tender status after that date because they're being withdrawn.
I intended to, but it was a Hublon entendre.
Sorry. Sometimes one wonders, doesn't one? But there you go. See, cult. In fact, that joke just portrays exactly that which Mr. Banks is, who claims to be the cultural element of the programme.
A hoopla nonsense, Scott!
Yes.
Made me laugh anyway.
I'm going to cough in a minute. Anyway, Lee, because you love the country so much...
Yeah?
You can do the next bit.
Which bit? Oh, whoops, Lee's been spending his £50 notes on the high street. And the high streets are buzzing. I think this is actually one of those situations where you have to accept that the chutzpah that the government tends to put out as propaganda is actually a misrepresentation of the UK and the state that the UK is in.
Oh, yes.
Quite rightly, I am sure that we have seen the green shoots of recovery have become flowers and daffodils and grand oak trees.
Mm.
But actually, the reality is that the restrictions that have been put on the British nation to reach this stage are absolutely appalling. And the general people of this country can barely afford to live on minimum wages, which even the government admits.
Well, it's funny you should say that, Lee.
And I also want to say very quickly that people in Britain, for the first time in living memory, can no longer afford to buy a house, no matter how many jobs they have and no matter how hard they work.
Funny that.
Why?
Well, you see, I've got this... Maybe I've got a perceived conception of stores like Debenhams.
Yeah.
And Marks and Spencer's.
Not doing very well.
And I always think of those as upmarket stores.
They are.
Right. And I don't necessarily think of Argos, Whole Foods and Primark as upmarket stores. I consider those to be the stores of me, the general normal geezer.
Says he living in his ivory tower in Poprad.
Yeah, right. I wish. And I don't understand how comes the... Shops for the rich haven't done very well, and the shops for the normal people have done really well.
Because generally, the rich no longer shop in Britain, because it's cheaper, genuinely, to go over to places like Paris to shop.
I thought you were going to say Poprad there for a minute.
Look, and Poprad. Poprad, yeah, the last time I was there, which was a long time, ladies and gentlemen, I used to be there on a regular basis with my best friend, Mr. Wiltshire. And then, even then, you started to see the growth in the economy and how wonderful it was doing and all the cars, the big posh cars, BMWs, all sorts of things. And it's still, to this day, cheaper to shop in Poprad than it is to shop in Telford Town Centre in the UK.
But that's because the wages are all different as well, you know.
Well, you see, but that's the problem. That's what I'm saying. Wages aren't. We have a minimum wage, which the bulk of the country are on. The bulk of the country is built, as Mrs. Thatcher wanted it to be, on shop workers, corner shops, people working in shops, retail trade, service industries. Mm-hmm. And the bulk of those people are on the minimum wage, and this is what's causing the problems with people coming from Central European countries.
Hurry up, because we're running out of time.
They come over here thinking £7 is a phenomenal wage compared to their income. They get over here and they realise that they are actually in as much poverty as
they were. That's the end of Postcard from Poprad for another week. Say goodbye, Lee.
Goodbye, everybody. Thank you for listening.
See you later, boys and girls. Same channel, same time, next week. Bye-bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.